It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Enrollment is on the decline at community colleges in western Pennsylvania. The Community College of Allegheny County saw its enrollment fall from a total of 15,281 full-time equivalent students in the fall of 2011 to 11,586 last autumn. And Beaver County Community College's full-time enrollment dipped from 2,287 in 2011 to 1,856 last fall. These numbers were cited in a downgrade of the school's bond rating. The question is, what's causing the enrollment decline, and what can two-year colleges do to reverse it and remain viable alternatives to expensive four-year colleges and universities? I'm joined now in studio by Quentin Bullock. He's president of the Community College of Allegheny County. Quentin Bullock, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Also with us is Chris Reber. He's president of the Community College of Beaver County. Chris Reber, good to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Paul. Thank you.
And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at ESSPGH. If you are a community college graduate or a community college student, or maybe someone who's thinking about going to community college, what are the expectations that you have about the experience? If you have already been to community college, what was the experience like for you? What are the changes that you might like to see in community colleges? And what did you enjoy about being at a community college, a two-year school, as opposed to a more expensive, perhaps four-year school, college or university? Gentlemen, first of all, let's look at the enrollment situation. Why is enrollment declining at community colleges? Quentin, we'll start with you.
Well, it's not uncommon for enrollment to have some slight decline during periods of strong economy. As the economy goes up, more and more students who are attending community college select to go to work full-time. The majority of CCAC students are part-time. So if you look at the fact that many part-time students are seeking skills to get into the workplace, opportunities open in the workplace, they choose to take that for a temporary moment of employment. And once things stabilize on the job, they do return to the college and may take fewer classes from a full-time to a part-time and ultimately achieve their educational goal.
And Chris Reber?
Yeah. There is, across the country, there is an inverse relationship between strength of the economy and community college enrollment for the reasons Quentin has noted. So at CCBC, we had an all-time record enrollment in 2008 when the economy was in deep recession. And since then, as the economy has slowly improved, our enrollment has been declining. This is essentially the same trend that we've seen across Pennsylvania's 14 community colleges. However, it isn't necessarily true that that relationship will always hold. At CCBC, we are now growing. We, in fact, were up 3.5% this past fall, and we expect to be up more significantly next fall. But I would suggest to you that if you look at community college enrollments over a longer period of time, there will be dips and periods of growth related to the economy, but there's a long-term positive growth trend as community colleges, frankly, have shifted from a much narrower mission earlier in their history to now, I think, a mission that is arguably the most exciting in post-secondary education.
Well, right, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there really was a perception of community colleges, and this might have been true decades ago, of them being more of a technical, hands-on workforce skill type learning environment. And now you're getting much broader opportunity to engage in liberal arts education and, core classes in the humanities, writing, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. I'm getting to be older than I'd like to admit. I've worked in post-secondary education for 35 years. I've worked in every sector of post-secondary education, and everyone plays a critical role in terms of our nation's economy and the needs of our workforce and of the population. But I believe the community college at this moment in the country's evolution is is the most exciting part of higher ed, because we are positioned by our very mission to be focused on the needs of students, and that means meeting the needs of all students where they are, and on the needs of the community. And I think we're positioned as well to facilitate partnerships with both K through 12 and with other four-year and graduate institutions to work together to create what I would call a seamless educational or career pathway. And I think that is really exciting, and frankly, it's what we need in Pennsylvania and throughout the country.
Elizabeth Bolden, president of Pennsylvania's Commission for Community Colleges, said drops in enrollment are linked to a shrinking pool of recent high school graduates, as well as the improving economy. Is that part of it, Chris? Quentin?
Well, there is a decrease in our high school graduates, but there's still an ample number of high school graduates that have not selected next steps as in regards to accessing higher education and our career pathway. So it is requiring community colleges to come up with some different innovative ways of connecting with the audiences that have not chosen next steps for accessing that pathway. And that can occur by having more hands-on and visitations to the community colleges and linking them to the actual career lab so that they can have a firsthand experience about what is mechatronics. What kind of career can I get out of mechatronics? Oh, I wasn't aware of welding and the levels of certifications and the jobs that are in the area. Oh, I didn't know nursing was a career. So you have to allow them to come and get that firsthand experience in dialogue with students and faculty to better understand how the two-year pathway can be a shorter journey to a very lucrative career that will support them for many years to come.
Paul, could I segue off
of
that for a moment? One of the most exciting things that I've been associated with in higher ed is happening right now at CCBC, and it relates to engaging high school students. We, like it's true in almost all of Western Pennsylvania, we're seeing a decline in the number of high school graduates in Beaver County. However, we have worked with all of our school districts and superintendents to create high school academies in areas of academic strength for us and workforce need for the community. We have a nationally recognized air traffic control program, probably the best in the country. And we've developed an aviation academy that allows students in grades 10 through 12 in all 14 Beaver County school districts to spend half their high school experience in STEM coursework, earning college credits at CCBC. They can graduate high school with a year of college finished and half of an associate degree. And we then have linked that curriculum with four-year programs. So we're extending that across the curriculum. We're starting a health academy next year and a new academy each of the next 6 years, which is bringing a markedly increased number of high school students into our classrooms.
So a high school student can get a year's worth of credit without setting foot on the community college campus?
Well, they're actually on our campus and in our facilities for half of their high school experience.
Okay, because I've seen where that's done with a number of high school students. And Quentin, that happens at CCAC?
Yes, we do college offerings at the high school. We call that college in the high school. And then high school students can also come and take a college class at the college, community college, and we call that, categorize that as dual enrollment, which allows them to get college credit while in high school that goes towards their high school required credits as well as credits toward earning their degree with the community college.
And we do that as well. But what's exciting about, I think particularly exciting about this model is these courses are sequential and leading to a credential. And so the students actually bused by the school district into our facilities. And a big part of this, in addition to the coursework, is creating a passion for learning among students and character development. And it's become an organizing principle for us as we move forward. But what it has done for us is grown our market share of the local high school graduating community.
It's Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about enrollment at community colleges, which has been on the decline in the last 4 years, hearing about what the Community College of Allegheny County, as well as the Community College of Beaver County, are doing to combat that enrollment decline, ideas, as you're hearing, that have been implemented to bring in younger students, as well as also creating opportunities for non-traditional college students. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002 with our guests, Quentin Bullock, who is president of the Community College of Allegheny County, and Chris Reber, president of the Community College of Beaver County. Email is ESSPGH@WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH, Pittsburgh Mom on Twitter. We've all heard of Pittsburgh Dad. Well, this is PGH or Pittsburgh Mom on Twitter. She says, I thank CCAC every day as one of the main reasons I achieved my Bachelor of Science degree from Grove City College.
Excellent.
So there's someone reflecting on a positive experience. We'd like to hear about your community college experience, the ways in which you think the community colleges are viable, as well as your criticisms. What do you think is lacking? What do you think can be done differently or better, more efficiently? How do you get more bang for your buck if you enroll in a community college? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002 to join our conversation. Chris Reber, you have said affordability is an issue. Aren't community colleges supposed to be the affordable alternative?
Absolutely. If you look at tuition rates among all sectors of higher ed, ours is clearly the best return on investment. However, our mission is to serve all students. So we have the most diverse population of learners in all of post-secondary education. And we have many students who cannot afford the tuition that we offer. And it's a significant challenge. But what's interesting is, you know, there are lots of economic development data that show that for every dollar invested in community colleges, the economic impact comes back exponentially, 8, 10, 12 times. And so I would argue it's a great investment to try to make community college affordable for all students who can benefit from it.
Does declining enrollment necessitate changes in staffing? So if enrollment's down and we've seen, you said, that, you know, Chris, you've cited that the numbers are seem to be bouncing back up, but there's still an overall decline from 4 years ago at CCBC as well as CCAC. So when that happens, does that necessitate changes in staffing from faculty to support staff at the community college?
You do an assessment based on the actual enrollment, and as positions open, you may not necessarily quickly fill the position unless there's a need or a high demand course or field that you want to continue to allow to expand. So it does allow an opportunity to really assess ratios of faculty staff based on actual headcount. It opens a door also for launching new programs where you can repurpose or identify new faculty and staff that you want to bring on board to begin supporting new programming that is identified that's on the rise or something new within the area that will be yielding great results in the coming years.
Last fall, President Obama kicked off a national campaign for providing 2 free years of community college. CCAC announced that it has joined the effort. Where is that leading? Have we had enough time to see some results of that initiative?
CCAC has been working on a proposed plan for working and launching the free community college. We see that it is something that we may be viable to do, but there are some additional areas that we want to further explore to better understand how the critical areas of support will be supported and provided financially, because you will need increased number of advisors and counselors, expanded amount of support services, as well as additional teaching faculty, because if the numbers come as proposed, it will have a great impact on enrollment, but it will also have a greater demand on supplemental services and staffing to accommodate the change in the number of students being served.
And we'll look at some of the ways in which community colleges are funded as this conversation goes along. Right now, let's take a call from Rob in Oakland, who is identified as a Pitt student. Hi, Rob. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, hello, gentlemen. I thought it was important to bring up that CCAC also provides a transfer program to get into an engineering program. In fact, I used to go to CCAC South. I'm currently at Pitt, junior year. going for chemical engineering at the Swansea School of Engineering. So I just thought it was important to also bring that up. I've saved a lot of money, and in fact, I'm getting involved with a co-op this summer. So I think that's a very important fact that you guys should bring up.
So, Rob, did you start at CCAC and then go on to Pitt?
Yes, I did. I started at CCAC South about 2.5 years ago, and I've since transferred to Pitt 2 semesters ago. And in that time also, CCAC also provided, I was able to also work as a peer tutor in the math cafe. So they have a lot of programs. Myself being an older student, I'm 31 years old, and I decided to go back to school. So I was able to save a lot of money at CCAC, and they were able to help me out tremendously, even now as I continue in my goal for my bachelor's in science in chemical engineering.
And how does it work for someone like you when you're starting out at CCAC? Are you taking a lot of the required courses that would certainly cost less in a community college setting than it would if you were taking them on the Pitt campus that are unrelated to your major?
No. For the most part, almost all the classes transferred. I mean, all my calculus 1, 2, 3, calculus, space, physics 1 and 2. When I did get into Pitt, I had already been probably, I think, considered at Pitt a sophomore or a second
junior
semester sophomore. So I wasn't that far behind at all. And, you know, my first year, because it had been longer than 7 years since I'd been in high school, I believe, was a cutoff. I did take 1 semester of prerequisites, like prereq trig, algebraic physics. So it was only 1 semester of prereqs, and I did two years of classes that actually transferred to Pitt. So they definitely set you up if you wanted to get into an engineering program, and I would definitely encourage any students who are interested in any of the STEM programs or engineering to check that out.
Well, that's very interesting, because what a lot of people think of, and forgive me for, you know, if I'm buying into some sort of a stereotype, but a lot of people think of going to community college to knock out those requirements. What Rob is saying is that a lot of the core requirements for his major, he was able to take at CCAC.
And one of the great things about community colleges as a whole, we develop 2+2 articulations, and that includes a clear listing of courses that students ought to take to transfer to a specific institution. So if you indicate, I'd like to transfer to University of Pitt into program ABC, we have an agreement and a list of courses that are accepted pending students pass it with appropriate grades will automatically 100% transfer to the four-year college of choice. And that's the message that I think we have to continue to expand and explain to parents and students so that they understand that credits earned at the community college do transfer to our four-year partners in university.
And who are the partners? Do they have to be colleges and universities in state, or can they be anywhere?
Well, for CCAC, some of the recent ones that we have recently signed, we have a joint admissions in our nursing program with Carlo and CCAC. We've signed with Penn State, all 6 locations. Our students can transfer and complete the associates and transfer with Chatham, with Point Park. So all of the local ones, IUP, California U, so just about every state and many of our private institutions, we are expanding in that arena to allow our students all options to continue their studies beyond the 2-year experience.
And let me also note, this is really an organizing principle for us at CCBC. It's all about partnerships. So like Quentin and CCAC, we are growing our family of articulation agreements with institutions of every size and in all parts of the country. There are several models for this. We have Franklin University from Columbus, Ohio, on the ground at CCBC. So Franklin offers an array of 4-year programs. You can actually satisfy 3 years of their 4-year curriculum through CCBC courses at CCBC tuition rates. You then finish a year with Franklin. They're right on the ground. We are then also partnering, of course, with neighboring institutions where students physically transfer, but also increasingly with institutions that have online degree completion programs, like Clarion University, where I used to work. And we're assiduously working to create a career pathway. And I'll give you an example. We're starting a health academy this coming fall. So students in grades 11 and 12 from school districts throughout southwestern Pennsylvania can actually spend half of their high school experience earning 30 credits of STEM coursework and a year of an associate degree in nursing, rad tech, allied health. But beyond that, they can plan in advance if they wish the whole spectrum. So they know that they can finish an associate degree with us. They then know that they can transfer to a wide array of institutions like Carlo, like Clarion, which is an online degree completion program. They can go all the way to a doctor of nursing practice through partnerships and articulations that are already organized and available to students when they're making their choice of the initial institution they want to attend. And one other thing I would just like to share is our colleague, Dr. Nick Neupower at Butler County Community College, is also seeing increased enrollment growth. And one of the reasons he's growing is he has invited a whole array of four-year institutions to actually have their home physically at BC3 so that you can do a whole array of four-year programs. And so those are the kinds of strategies that I think can lead to enrollment growth even in this time of relative economic stability.
Let's take one more call before we go to break from OCN in Apollo. Hi, OCN, welcome. You're on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, my name is Roseanne. I'm from
Roseanne.
Hopewell.
That's
a mix-up.
Wow, yeah. That's what it said on the screen, and they even had the pronunciation. So we were way off, as they used to say in the cartoon. No, I'm sorry. Roseanne from Hopewell.
Right.
Doesn't Tony Dorsett
have community colleges?
Go ahead.
Two of my children went to community college. They're both in their 30s. And they both have good employment today. So, I mean, you can get jobs. But what I really want to talk about is my best friend. I met her in 1974. She was working at the mall with me and finishing up her nursing degree at community college. And she got her associates as a registered nurse, and she worked her way up, and she got her bachelor's. She got her master's. She got her nurse practitioner's. And then about, I'd say, 8 years ago, she finally got her doctorate. And she is now working for Mayo Clinic, and that's going to Community College of Beaver County. And I'm so proud of her. And anytime I hear a young person say, I'll say, where are you going to school? Oh, I'm just going to community college. Oh, I'm just going for nursing at CCBC. I say, please don't say that. And then I tell them the story of my best friend, and I hope it enlightens them. But there's so many possibilities going to community college and saving a lot of money by starting out there.
Well, Chris Reber's beaming over here, and he appreciates that, and we appreciate the phone call. Again, Roseanne from Hopewell, and I believe Tony Dorsett has a connection to Hopewell, Chris.
I think that's right.
Yeah. But what about Roseanne had to say? That's got to be very gratifying for both of you to hear.
She's absolutely. And, you know, we are seeing significant growth in high-achieving students who are choosing to come to us. We're in the process of creating an honors program. And so, you know, we have a more diverse student population than ever. And a lot of stories like that, which are so satisfying, and it's an honor to work in an environment that's life-changing.
We need to take a break. We will come back and continue this conversation. We're looking at the role that community colleges play in educating students throughout both Allegheny County and Beaver County, with the president of the Community College of Allegheny County, Quentin Bullock, as well as Chris Reber. He's president of the Community College of Beaver County, and also looking at how they are addressing the challenges, including declining enrollment. We'll continue that conversation and take your calls. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking about community colleges in the area and the challenges they face. We're here in studio with Quentin Bullock, president of the Community College of Allegheny County, and Chris Reber, who is president of the Community College of Beaver County. And the reason I keep introducing you gentlemen in that order is that, you know, A before B.
You bet.
There's no other reason for doing that other than that. There was no coin flip. 412-246-2002 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation, share your community college experience with us. What's working? What's not working? What might you like to see done differently? What are the positive experiences that you've had? 412-246-2002. Email is essPGH@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essPGH. Let's go to Margaret in Pittsburgh. Hi, Margaret. You're on the air.
I wanted to add a comment about the continuing education courses that community colleges offer for working adults, those who may already have a job but want to expand their skill set or explore another area. And I've found them to be very helpful in terms of skill development or just taking a course to brush up in an area or keep yourself current. And so I think that's a very valuable asset to the community.
Well, we thank you for sharing that, Margaret. And you must hear that quite a bit, Quentin.
Absolutely, because one of our areas is in workforce development, and it's to develop customized training courses or refresher courses or a variety of non-credit initiatives that have been identified as courses of interest or trainings that current working professionals would like to engage in to brush up on some skills or learn new skills to help them expand their knowledge base and skill sets on the job.
Don, in an email, says, I was a non-traditional student in my early 40s when I earned 60 transfer credits from CCAC North Campus, which culminated in earning a BA, MA, and PhD in art and architectural history at Pitt in 2013. CCAC was a great teaching school, and it gave me a solid grounding for my subsequent academic career. Thanks, says Don. POL155 on Twitter says, community colleges such as Westmoreland County Community College offer great value and good education, but they are vastly underfunded, which leads to some questions I have about funding. Where does the money or most of the money for community colleges come from? Chris, or go ahead, Quentin, you wanted to jump in first.
Pennsylvania community colleges are funded by three funding sources, state, county, and student tuition and fees. And when the development of community colleges initially started, it was assumed that it would be a third, a third, and a third. Over the years, we have seen a shift in each one of the categories, and it will vary from community college, which percentage in those areas, what percentage they will get from each of those areas. For CCAC, we get a strong support from our county, and from the state, we're getting just shy of about 26% of support, and our county is about 21%. And then the balance is covered from our student tuition and fees.
Is there a shortfall now, particularly because we're in this budget impasse?
Well, of course, the absence of state funding has an impact on our abilities to do the variety of things that we do on a day-to-day basis. But we are maximizing alternative funding sources to supplement in the absence of the state dollars to continue the delivery of our quality instruction and services so that our students continue to get the positive learning experiences that they're getting at our colleges.
And let me note, our proportions are similar to CCAC's. Our students right now are they're paying for approximately 55%+ of our costs. And as we had talked about earlier, that is a burden for many students. We have students who are raising families, working, and attending college all at the same time. And so the community colleges across Pennsylvania actually collectively are receiving less state appropriation than they received in actual dollars in 2010. The proposed increase in our appropriation that the governor had recommended, and actually later both the Senate and House recommended a similar increase, would only have bridged half of that gap. And so it's true that money doesn't solve all problems, but I would suggest that there is a very strong case to be made for increased investment at the state level and certainly even at the federal level where appropriate in community colleges. And as much as what we're doing has a very direct correlation to workforce and economic development.
Yeah, and in Pennsylvania, we have this aging workforce. People need to be trained for all sorts of jobs. Is this one of the ways that, Quentin, that community colleges are becoming or can become more viable?
Absolutely, because we have a very large baby booming population that is preparing for the next phase of their life. And then we have a large growing percentage of millennials who come in with different demands and skill sets and desires and can work just about anywhere. And this allows a great opportunity for the community colleges to make that connection and to ensure that their experiences on our campuses offers them the education and development and the integration of varied technologies that they all embrace and an environment that is conducive and complementary to how they like to learn and engage with their peers. So we do see the millennials or our more recent high school graduates being the growing populations in the coming years because of the changing of the times and the needs to replace our baby boomers as they exit the workplace.
Do you both have to think outside of your counties?
Absolutely. We are, through those high school academies, we are seeing students come to us now increasingly from three states. So we're seeing students from Ohio, West Virginia, and we are now serving students in some 16 counties. Now, our focus is Beaver County. That's our sponsoring county. But as the word gets out on innovative programs, we're seeing a more diverse population. In fact, we're going to be offering our Aviation Academy at the Parkway West Career and Technology Center near the Pittsburgh International Airport starting next fall at their invitation.
Let's go back to the phones at 412-246-2002. Linda in North Versailles is on the line. Hi, Linda.
Hi. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Great. Hey, I'm really glad to hear you talking about community colleges and the benefit that it provides to all of us. I attended community college on South Campus, CCAC South, between 84 and 86. It was a great experience for me, my first time in school, and I was an adult then, and there were, well, I'm still an adult, huh? But
we hope so.
We were filled with adults at that time, and it was just such a great experience. I transferred to Carlo University, which Carlo College at the time, and was able to get a transfer scholarship into Carlo, which was a great help for me. I was a single mom with two kids, and I graduated with honors from Carlo and went on to work for Carlo for the next 23 years, first as a transfer or adult admissions counselor. So I was able to work with a lot of people coming from the community colleges, and I worked with all the community colleges at that time to help put together packages or articulation agreements between the schools and Carlo. So it's just good to hear you comment about it, and I always promote the community colleges because it was a great start for me.
Well, and it sounds, Linda, like you were a little more comfortable in the community college setting than you might have been at a four-year college or university because there are more non-traditional students, more, as you say, more adults in the room?
Well, there were at that time. I don't know what it's like now, but it was, yeah, it was a perfect situation for me at the time.
Well, we appreciate your call, Linda, and Chris and Quentin, is that maybe the case today as well?
Absolutely. That
where a non-traditional student is going to find more of a comfort level at a community college?
I would say absolutely. You will find the average age is about 27, but the trend is shifting, and it also depends on the time of day that you may choose to take a class. There's a greater percentage of the adult working in the evening and weekend class and a younger population during the day.
And, you know, community colleges typically serve about half of their students are returning adults and half are of traditional college, high school graduation age. And there's an interesting dynamic associated with that. We see classrooms that are rich with age diversity, and there tends to be an interesting kind of natural set of challenges and supports that younger and older students offer one another in the classroom.
Richard in an email says, community colleges rock. I started my college career in an engineering transfer program at Berkshire Community College. Classes were small, sometimes 5 to 6 people in an advanced engineering or math class. This was a low-cost, high-quality education. When I transferred to UMass, I was, that would be the University of Massachusetts, presumably at Amherst. I was ahead of my peers who started at UMass. I graduated from UMass and have since received a PhD in physics from Carnegie Mellon. How about that?
That's excellent.
Mm-hmm. Before we wrap this up, I wanted to ask you fellows what can be learned from what's going on nationally. For example, in Tennessee, which is midway through its first year of free community college, officials there, and this is, of course, where President Obama got his idea for making community college or two-year college free for as many students as possible. Officials in Tennessee, there they have seen double-digit increases in enrollment. Could that work here?
Absolutely. I think I've learned through all of my experiences in higher ed is that all institutions need to come together and work together. The old principle of a college seeing another college just inherently as a competitor, I think, needs to completely go away. We all bring strengths to students and the workforce, and for us at CCBC, the key is partnering with others so that each of us brings more to the final opportunities than we could do on our own, and allowing students options that each sector can bring to the table.
And I would also add, the more we can get into the education of pathway, removing the barrier of costs and assisting students who are academically ready, career focused, and entering in some of the high career fields, this would be an excellent way of responding to the local and regional workforce needs, because you are increasing that pathway and preparing an educated community that will be responsive to the growing workforce demands.
The Tennessee Promise is part of an effort to ensure that 55% of the state's adults have completed a post-high school certificate or degree program by 2025. Could we make something like this a goal in Pennsylvania? You know, obviously, funding's a big part of it, and with what's going on in Harrisburg, people have to be looking at what's happening and saying, are we just too dysfunctional to have these kind of big goals?
Well, go ahead.
Chris, you
I
go first.
I think that we're both excited here. We have to do that. Pennsylvania has a relatively low rate of post-secondary credential attainment. There are many jobs that are going unfilled because there aren't enough candidates that have the required skill sets. And so I think the link between higher education, degree attainment, and economic development is very, very strong. And so I think we owe it to the population, the people of the Commonwealth, to find ways to work together in order to expand higher education attainment in the population.
Quentin?
And then community colleges have all signed on to support the attainment of the targeted degree completers. And we have varied innovative ways of how we're going to do it. But we are all striving to complete that task.
Well, it's been an interesting conversation, gentlemen. And we wish you well going forward as you endeavor to provide educational opportunities, affordable educational opportunities for people that want to extend their education beyond high school, and a lot of young people, as well as non-traditionally aged students, need to have that those opportunities, clearly. I want to thank both of our guests who have joined me in studio, Quentin Bullock, president of the Community College of Allegheny County, and Chris Reber, who is president of the Community College of Beaver County. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll look at a startup company's effort to help college students prepare for the real world by tracking their out-of-classroom experience. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.